back to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I am your host today, Carl Sweeney, and this is the third day of our coverage of Season 11, Episode 6, Kitten. And today we are going to talk about a first-time writer, Gabe Rotter, on The X-Files, and a first-time director of an X-Files episode, Carol Banker. And joining me to discuss these two people is Sarah Blair. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Carl.
Yeah, interesting that this is an episode, written and directed by two people who, you know, they've worked on The X-Files for a long time, but they hadn't respectively penned an episode or helmed an episode before. So whereas the other episodes have been written and directed by, like, old hands, this is a bit of a departure. Well, I should say that Plus One was directed by a new director, but on the whole, let's start with Gabe Rotter then. So, you know, a long-time 1013 staff member. He's a producer on the series at the moment, and he wrote this episode. And what I thought was particularly good about it, and I think you mentioned this a bit in the last podcast, is that it was kind of a piece in terms of, like, its themes with some of the other episodes we've seen, wasn't it? So there was lots of stuff about, like, altered perception with, like, the seeing this kind of monstrous figure in Vietnam and later on in the small town. And also, you had this, like, double role, didn't you, for Haley Joel Osment? And, you know, we've seen doubles so far in the season, haven't we, when we've had, like, for example, Judy and Chucky and Plus One. So he did a good job, I think, making this of a piece with the rest of the season, I thought.
I feel the same way, and it makes me wonder if they might have just had one huge staff meeting at the beginning of this, and it makes me wonder how much they're sharing their scripts beforehand, because, I mean, they've had, what, more than a year or so to work on this, and I think it speaks to the show, the original show run, of how, you know, they were just hacking out these episodes one after another, and everybody was working on their own episode and, you know, writing down to the wire on stuff, and they weren't able to collaborate as much, I feel. So I really am enjoying the cohesive feel of the season, and I wonder how much they all got together and how much they passed the scripts around and how much everyone was involved on all of the episodes. So, yeah. And I think it's cool that, you know, Gabe Rotter had worked on the show in various forms and various roles before. I think that definitely made a difference and gave him kind of a wider perspective on how things run and the world that he's working in and writing in. And I mean, he knows how to write these characters. So, yeah, I really like that he had a good handle on the X-Files world, and especially the character of Skinner. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you make some good points there, because, like, I feel these episodes are so much more joined up that it's almost inconceivable to me that they haven't had a lot more kind of meetings or whatever, or coordination between the writers. But when they come out and do interviews, like when James Wong, for example, was doing interviews for Ghoulie, that didn't seem to be what he was saying. He sort of said that, you know, I didn't know what Skinner had been told by the Smoking Man when I wrote my episode. And it just doesn't seem right to me, though, because, like, the episodes themselves do feel much more cohesive. So I just hope someday we get more info in, like, exactly how the season was, like, planned out. I'd love to know the truth, or as much as we can get towards the truth.
The truth is out there, Carl. Maybe we'll find it, maybe we won't.
Maybe. In terms of Rotter, though, I mean, yeah, so he's been given a few interviews. So he's given some interviews to TV Line and sci-fi.com. So I just pulled a few quotes out because I thought it might kind of shed some insight into what he was thinking about and so on. And, I mean, did you actually know that he was supposed to write an episode for season 10? I think what had happened was they thought they might be able to expand the 6 episodes into 7. And they actually wrote the script and everything. He wrote one with another guy, Brad Falmer. And then for whatever reason, I'm not entirely clear on what happened, but it fell through, and obviously it turned out just to be a 6-episode season. So I think, like, when season 11 was announced, a lot of us assumed that, oh, well, they'll just use the same script for, you know, they'll reuse that script for season 11. But no, apparently that was kind of discarded because it didn't fit in with the stories they wanted to tell this year. So what he says in terms of the idea for this one is that he was sitting on the set with Mitch Pileggi last season at some point, and they were chatting, and he just kind of came up with the idea to do this Skinner-centric episode. So I don't know, really. I mean, that Lost episode is going to be one of those interesting, like, bits of trivia, but sadly it'll never see the light of day, I suppose.
Yeah, that's sad to hear that there's a whole episode out there floating around. I think it's really cool that he had, you know, access, and it seems, from what I've heard and seen in different places, that Mitch Pileggi and Gabe Roth are pretty good buddies. So I feel that that really helped a lot with the writing of this episode. And I think that he was a perfect person to do it. If they, you know, if he knows the character so well, I think he nailed the character pretty well. So I can't imagine Darren Morgan writing a Skinner episode. You know, as much as I love Darren Morgan, maybe Vince Gilligan could have done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it turned out pretty well for what it is.
Yeah, well, what he said is that, I just thought it would be cool to take a deep dive into who this guy is and what makes him tick. And, like, I don't know, just from what we've, like, some of the discussions we've had with other people and so on, there is, like, disagreement, isn't there, about, like, does this teach us anything new about Skinner? But like I say, I sort of come down on the side that he's not that he's a simple guy, but he's quite a straightforward guy, and his life has kind of been defined by kind of a small number of kind of totemic events in a certain way. So I think he achieved fairly well what he set out to do in that respect.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I was sitting here thinking, you know, you and me both, brother, like, I want to know more about Skinner too. Let's get together and write a series. No, Gabe Broder, if you're listening, please call me. So, just kidding. Not really. I mean, it's kind of sad because I know Chris Carter Mitch Pileggi had mentioned to Chris Carter at one point, you know, why did the Lone Gunman get a spinoff series? Why not Skinner? And then Chris Carter is like, well, what would it be about? And he's like, I don't know. But he's also admittedly not a writer. So for writers, I think Skinner is a really juicy character to really delve into and find out, you know, what makes him tick. Because like you said, he's got these very few moments that are defining for his life. But everything in between and how he responds to all that is what really fascinates me about his character. And you don't get to actually see that on the screen. And I want to see it. I want to know about it. I want to know more about Skinner. Dang it. So, yeah.
I agree that I think a Skinner spinoff would have been a better idea than the Lone Gunman spinoff, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And even to this day, I think there's some mileage, at least in the Skinner series, even if it was just like a mini series or something, I think it could work, like, pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Rotter talked a bit more then about, like, the ending of the episode. He sort of said, I always imagined ending the episode with Skinner telling them, look, I realize it's probably true that the reason my career hasn't advanced is because of you guys, but I would make that decision 100% of the time, every time. And he says, so I thought that was a really lovely idea, and also a good way to really make sure the episode was about Mulder and Scully as much as about Skinner. And I think that's an important point when we talk about this episode. We'll sort of say, you know, okay, it's not perfect, but it's surprisingly, there's, like, more to it, I think, than you might expect going in that it's a Skinner story, but it's also a Mulder and Scully story up to a point, and it is this interesting little small-town conspiracy too. So, to be honest, I think he did a pretty good job, like, weaving all these things in. And, yeah, okay, maybe we could have had a bit more of this or a bit more of that, but it didn't feel like particularly rushed to me. It felt like the pacing was pretty good.
I think the episode did everything that it set out to do. You know, we got more insight into Skinner's character. We learned a little bit more about him. We got to see some of his past. We got to see a little bit of, hopefully, what will happen moving forward. We got a little bit of resolution between him and Mulder and Scully. We got, you know, a little bit of creepiness. You know, I as far as a textbook, if there is a textbook X-Files episode goes, this is it. He did everything exactly as it should be, as far as I'm concerned. And so, I think he really captured the feel of the show and gave us a little bit new and gave us some good meat as far as the characterization goes and that kind of thing. So, and like you said, it was evenly paced. There weren't, you know, any, I didn't feel like there were any clunky bits. But as far as, you know, dialogue and that kind of thing goes. But yeah.
Yeah, and obviously he was not wholly responsible for all those things. Obviously Carol Banker played a big role too, she being the director. And again, so kind of a long history on the series. She'd been the script supervisor at some point during the original run. She actually appears on screen in Gillian Anderson's episode All Things. And then she went on to direct an episode of The Lone Gunman spin-off. But this is her first X-Files episode as director, and she's only the third female director on the series after Gillian Anderson for All Things and Michelle MacLaren for John Doe. Although a woman called Holly Dale is going to direct an episode later this season. So, I mean, she's given an interview, Banker, to the New York Times this week, and she sort of said that, or she's commented on, because there was that story, wasn't there, about Gillian Anderson's criticism of the lack of female writers and directors on the series, like, this was a few months ago now. And Carol Banker says, you know, the funny thing is she'd already been hired for season 11 at that point, and Gillian Anderson just didn't know. But, I mean, yeah, I don't think I ever talked to you about that story. So, I mean, what are your thoughts, really, on then that this is only the third female to direct an episode in a series that's, like, spanned over 200 episodes by this point?
Yeah, that's kind of sucks. I'm just going to, like, that's lousy. You know, and so as far as diversity and all that goes, like, I mean, I love Gillian Anderson's episode. I felt like the pace was really great, and I think that girls have great ideas too. I mean, yeah, so I'm glad that we are getting two female directors this season, and I think she did a great job with this episode. There were a lot of felt like visually throwbacks to episodes like Detour, you know, and a little bit of even Home a little bit with the traps and that kind of thing, I felt like, and kind of the backwoods isolated feel of the Peacock's farm. So yeah, I think that she pulled in a lot of the elements that makes the X-Files the X-Files, and she did a great job with it and brought out a lot of really good stuff from the actors. And yeah, I think she did a great job.
Yeah, I feel she also did a really good job with, like, the feel of the piece. And mm-hmm. Yeah, those episodes you mentioned as well, I mean, also reminded me a lot of something like Blood or, like, Red Museum. You know, had a really, like, old-school feel, this investigation did. And I think it's because she made good use of the settings, you know. Like, you can't really go wrong in the forest or the woodland of mm-hmm. Vancouver, can mm-hmm. you?
No, yeah.
It had a really good vibe to it, you know. And, yeah, she's talked a bit about, like, her stylistic, like, input into the episode and, like, what specifically came from her. And she's pinpointed, like, a few specific things. And she says, like, one thing was that when Haley Joel Osment goes crazy and slaughters the villagers, she was insistent about adding a baby crying to make it a bit more, like, harrowing. And also, when Mulder is flipping through the photo album, she put some of her own family photos in there.
That's cool.
She says a mum died just last year, so it was very fresh, and she wanted to kind of give her a bit of a tribute. So that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, that sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, and then the other thing, though, is says when they were shooting the Vietnam scenes, the props department had made this period beer called Orville, and, like, Orville is her father's name. So it turns out the crew had kind of done that as kind of a surprise for her. So.
Aww.
Yeah, you got a kind of a nice sense from that, don't you? That she must be, like, well regarded, you know, by the crew, which is nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's really cool. And one thing that I know the X-Files does well is that they're a tight-knit family, and I love seeing all the inside, you know, set toss, like the tributes and the set things. And, you know, we got a few names on the gravestones and this and in the other episodes. And I love seeing that kind of thing. And it's nice to know that the crew knew her well enough to have faith in her and to know, like, you know, she's going to do a good job on this because we know her and she can handle this. And I think that's really important. It's not like they just got some random director from outside the family, so to speak. They knew her well enough and they knew Gabe well enough to give them the opportunity to do this. And I think that's really cool. And I think it speaks a lot to the performances of the actors and that kind of thing, that they trusted her and knew that she could do a great job and work with, you know, what they were given as far as the writing goes and all that. And I think that's why it's so cohesive and why it helps that, you know, it has that throwback feel to it, because the writer and the director both knew the show so well and knew the characters well and the actors well to really draw that out from them.
Yeah, and this interview, I think possibly the most interesting aspect of it is, like, she talks a bit about some of the barriers to succeeding in film and TV, like, as a woman. And she talks about kind of an encounter she had at one point with Harvey Weinstein, where she, like, witnesses him being very sexist about two other women, you know. And she also talks a bit about her career and how she had to, like, plug away for a long time until she was getting, like, regularly hired. You know, it was really until about... she had kind of a few lean years, it sounds like, until about 2015, where all of a sudden she starts to get hired a lot on, like, multiple shows. Like, this is a direct quote, which I thought was interesting, is that she says, "Being a script supervisor has meant that I sat next to some really good directors and some incredibly bad ones. The only reason they're in there is because of nepotism, their gender, and their race. That was really disheartening." I mean, obviously, that's, you could probably say that about any industry, but often it's like the entertainment industry that makes the news, isn't it? But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, disheartening is a good word for it, isn't it? To hear that kind of thing. I mean, it's not a surprise, but even though it doesn't surprise you, it doesn't stop it being a kind of a sad thing to hear, is it? You know?
Yeah. And I mean, the job of a script supervisor is to keep an eye on what's going on the show and cover the director's booty. Like, I mean, like, that's their job. Like, they're there to watch the director's back and make sure everything is set the way it needs to be and everything is reset when they reset the scene. And a script director's job is extremely intricate. And the fact that, you know, she was professional enough to really cover for those directors, and I'm sure a lot of directors appreciated her work and some very much probably didn't. So, and the thing about Hollywood is people remember that. So I think that, you know, moving forward in the future, they'll be able to make better decisions as to, like, who ends up working with who and what. And that experience probably taught her a lot about what kind of director she wanted to be and how to handle things. So it's probably, I would guess, only assuming, but I would guess it made her a lot stronger and taught her a lot and gave her the capabilities to do such a good job on this episode.
Yeah, and well, I think the both of them that we've talked about in this podcast, they both did a good job, I think. And yeah, maybe we should, like, just give our final thoughts on this episode then. I mean, I think it's a genuinely a good episode. I think the series has gone on a nice little run this last few weeks, you know. And I think, actually, this period of the series, the last few episodes are going to make a nice little binge session in the future because they're so, like, cohesive, like we sort of said. So yeah, I'm pretty pleased with Kitten. And what are your final, like, reflections on it, Sarah?
We didn't get to talk about the beard at all. Let's see. Skinner's beard. Let's take a moment to appreciate the whiskers. Yeah.
Well, we didn't mention he lost a tooth either, did we? So maybe maybe the next time we see him, he'll...
It was one of the molars. You don't see those, thank goodness. But, yeah, you know, they've got implants now, so that'll be fine. I just hope he's not, like, losing teeth at random points the rest of the season. But yeah, those, I mean, it's a good episode. Wash your vegetables, wash your fruits and vegetables. We all know that, but like really do it well. So you don't get poisoned and see monsters, folks, X-Files out there. Well, look for the chemtrails. When you see a chemtrail, go inside and take a shower. Yeah.
Sound advice, Sarah, as ever. And, I mean, you'll be back, I think, for, I believe, are you doing the next episode with Tony? Is that right?
Seven, yeah.
So let's hope that's a good one. And in the meantime, I mean, you know, where can people find you online and that kind of thing?
I'm always on Twitter, Sarah L. Blair, S-A-R-A-H-L-B-L-A-I-R. Not so much on Facebook anymore, but I'm in and out on the Facebook group. Yeah, just trying to work on my next book. I've got my first book out, Darkness Shifting, and Skinner fans, I think, will be fans of that as well. So, if you like Skinner, go pick up my book, Darkness Shifting. So, yeah, just working on the next sequel for that and hanging out, watching X-Files with no lights on.
Yeah, and, well, you won't be watching much X-Files in the next 2 weeks, I don't think, because we got this break for the Winter Olympics, sadly, or I don't know if it's sadly, because I, you know, a little break is not...
Yeah, it'll give us a good chance to rewatch all of the season thus far, I think, revisit those. Not that we haven't watched them 5 times already. Oh, wait, is that just me? This episode?
No, I'm looking forward to doing some rewatching, definitely, and I'll be back in a couple of days for the mailbag episode, but... Just one last public service announcement before we go. I mean, as everyone probably knows by now, we are on Patreon, and 2 new patrons to thank today, and they are Michael Gurman and Cortland Waters Bartley. So big thank you to both of you. Big thanks to both for choosing to support the podcast. And if anyone else would like to do so, please go to patreon.com/thexcast, and you can find all the information there about how you could support us if you want to, of course. All right, that's it, I think. I mean, in the meantime, all the usual places, Twitter and Facebook, @X_cast on Twitter, X-Files Basement on Facebook, and until next time, trust no one.